Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 77 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Cody Robinson.
This was an act of one individual, and we expect that one individual to be held accountable.
Kentucky State Police raided the home of a former Fleming County School District official.
Lexington police are investigating an attempted kidnapping.
Another case of hepatitis A has been reported near Huntington.
The Martin County Fiscal Court will cut thousands from the Sheriff Department's budget.
Some Moorhead residents are planning a rally to support families separated at the U.S.-Mexico border.
In sports, the Reds wrapped up their series with Atlanta this afternoon.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A 40% chance of evening thunderstorms with a low around 68. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The home of a former Fleming County School District official was searched by Kentucky State Police yesterday in Tollsboro. The warrant comes in relation to an alleged embezzlement case involving the Fleming school system. Ex-district-wide operations and finance director Greg Conway resigned last week after the KSP investigation was announced. Fleming County School Superintendent Brian Kreisman says the district began an investigation as soon as the allegations were reported.
Since 2014, when I arrived, we tried to be very transparent. We've not tried to cover up anything. We've had strong expectations when it comes to public use of funds, and it is not ever for personal use. And we are entrusted to make sure that we account for every dime that comes in and every dime that exits.
Officials with the Kentucky State Police have not released information regarding the investigation, and no arrests have been made.
Lexington police are investigating an attempted kidnapping after three children told them a masked man tried to grab them. According to WKYT, the incident happened around 9:45 p.m. Tuesday on Newberry Way near Waveland State Historic Site. The children, who range in age from 5 to 11, told police the man was also wearing gloves and a dark hoodie. They were able to run home and tell their parents, who called 911. Police used a helicopter and a canine to search for the suspect, but no one matching the description could be found.
Kentucky State Police say a man whose body was found last week in Bath County died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. KSP began an investigation after a man's body was discovered in an area park last Tuesday. Authorities say visitors to Bourbon Iron Furnace in Owingsville discovered the body. The man's name is not being released.
Another case of hepatitis A has been reported in Cabell County, West Virginia. According to WSAZ, the Cabell Huntington Health Department confirmed a food service worker at the Barbersville Cracker Barrel has been diagnosed with the disease. As of now, the restaurant has closed voluntarily for disinfecting. Health officials say, however, there is a very low risk of customers contracting Hep A.
The Carter County Fiscal Court has addressed the ongoing hepatitis A problem. WMKY's Paul Hitchcock has more.
After much deliberation, Carter County has adopted a resolution encouraging food handlers to get the hepatitis A vaccination. According to the Olifield Times, the Fiscal Court originally planned on enacting an ordinance similar to the one Boyd County passed recently. However, the Carter County resolution doesn't require vaccinations, unlike the Boyd County ordinance. Many in the court felt the resolution did not clarify how it would be enforced and who would pay for the vaccinations. For WMKY News, I'm Paul Hitchcock.
The Sheriff's Department in Martin County will be losing $80,000 from its budget. According to WYMT, the decision was made by the Martin County Fiscal Court yesterday during a meeting. Judge Executive Kelly Callahan says he understands if people are upset.
I've had five fiscal courts, and this group here is one of the most caring fiscal courts I've ever had. We're barely making it now, and we just can't afford this.
The department will be given $75,000 by the fiscal court to run on until December. The plan for the Sheriff's Department is to apply for a $30,000 state grant along with more police grants.
Kentucky residents will pay a slew of new taxes beginning next week. Starting Sunday, prices for things like car repairs, tanning bed visits, veterinarian care, and gym memberships will jump 6% because of a new law passed by the Republican-controlled legislature. On the same day, nonprofits will have to add an extra 6% for admission prices to cultural and athletic events. The change comes from a recent state Supreme Court ruling that says the Kentucky Constitution does not exempt nonprofits from state sales and use taxes. Republicans are defending the taxes by noting the extra money will be spent on public education. The changes also include a tax cut for many residents. Most state taxpayers had paid 6% of their taxable income to the state. Now they will pay 5%. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market. 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays in downtown Moorhead on U.S. 60 near the city park. The Rowan County Farmers Market offers homegrown fruits, vegetables, and baked goods, accepting WIC and Senior Farmers Market nutrition vouchers, and participating in the Community Farm Alliance Double Dollars program. Supporting local farmers, the Rowan County Farmers Market is Kentucky proud.
After recently passing out a grant, members of the Rowan County Community Fund are trying to figure out who will get their next award. The group is working to determine what local projects to help financially. Just recently, the Community Fund gave the Rowan Historical Society over $1,400 to assist its renovation efforts at the county's former jail, which is turning into an art studio. Community Fund Advisory Board Chairman Tom Lewis says the cash they have left to spend could be used for multiple initiatives.
We know that the money that we have available isn't going to be able to completely fund anything that we would like to see happen. But if we can use that money as leverage and as some seed funds to get other people involved and make it more of a community effort and almost more of a motivating tool than just strictly saying, here's some money, do your project.
The Rowan County Community Fund's endowment just recently passed the $100,000 mark.
Rowan County residents will have the opportunity to get rid of their household hazardous waste on July 14th. The event is funded through State and Local Floodplain Solid Waste Office and will be held at the Community Recycling Center from 8 a.m. to noon. Recycling Center Director Colin Alexander says it's important for residents to dispose of materials properly.
I've done one of these once before, and it seemed like we got more paint than anything, which paint is also hazardous. You don't want to put that in the landfill. It's a danger all the way through. So please bring your paint, regardless of how old it is or whatever. You know, anything that is on the list, please bring.
Rowan residents can also bring pesticides, automobile fluids, batteries, and sealant. For more information, contact the Floodplain Solid Waste Office at 784-6345.
A rally that is being planned in communities across the country will also take place in Moorhead this Saturday. Families Belonging Together rallies are being organized by MoveOn.org and the American Civil Liberties Union to show support for families that have been separated at the U.S.-Mexico border. Nancy Henley is a Moorhead pediatrician who helped organize the local event.
It's Saturday at 11 a.m., and we're gathering at Fountain Park, which is that little green space right across from Wendy's on Main Street there. Basically, it's local people who just feel strongly that, you know, this isn't right, taking children away from their parents, separating families, people coming here as refugees, you know, seeking asylum, being treated like bad.
Henley hopes that people will attend and bring signs to show support for families who have been separated at the border.
Four roadwork projects have been approved by rural secondary emergency funds. That's according to officials with the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet. The funds cover roads in four counties, including Crooked Creek Road in Estill County, South Fork Road in Lee County, Kentucky 1090 in McGoffin County, and another South Fork Road in Powell County. KTC spokesman H.B. Elkins says in most of the counties statewide, the majority of highway maintained mileage is on the rural secondary system,
which is the routes out in each county that connect outer parts of the county to the county seat and link between counties and some of the corridors that aren't major routes. So that's what this covers.
Elkins says school buses, delivery trucks, and state workers commonly travel these roads, so it's important to make sure they stay as safe as possible. The KTC expects repairs to cost a little under $400,000.
In just a few weeks, three new sections of Access Road will open in the Restaurant Row segment of Mountain Parkway expansion project. The openings of these roads will pave the way for the project's next phase, expanding a busy 2.4-mile section of the parkway to four lanes. Paige Moore is with the expansion project. She says direct access to the parkway will be closed off gradually in preparation for widening the main roadway.
The Mountain Parkway expansion is designed to create a safe and modern parkway. So it was originally built many, many years ago. The multi-year project calls for widening parts of the project that are right now two lanes to four lanes, and then expanding the length of the parkway itself.
The segments run through Wolf, Morgan, and McGoffin counties. Work to widen the main roadway is expected to begin later this year, and all construction on the Restaurant Row segment is scheduled to be completed in 2019.
The city of Ashland has been able to lower the insurance costs for its employees over the last year. WMKY's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
Total property and casualty costs are down $81,799 from 2017. That's according to the Daily Independent. Meanwhile, the city's workers' compensation renewal is down $28,521, nearly 16%. The city's property and liability renewal declined $39,278, 8.4%. And the city's broker services were reduced $14,000, or 36%. Mayor Steve Gilmore credited city employees' contributions to the effort by placing an emphasis on safety. For WMKY, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
A Kentucky native and World War II hero is being awarded the nation's highest military award. During a White House ceremony, President Trump presented the Medal of Honor to the widow of Garland Connor.
As bullets flew all around him, Lieutenant Connor directed artillery fire, each time successfully decimating the enemy. They knew he was there and they couldn't get him.
During an attack in France in 1945, Albany native Army First Lieutenant Connor fought off the Germans. Having earned four Silver Stars and three Purple Hearts, he is one of the most decorated soldiers of the war. Connor died in 1998.
The four college students responsible for the heist depicted in the film American Animals spoke out on NBC's Today show on Monday. As WUKY's Josh James reports, group members had a message for the Transylvania University librarian caught up in the scheme.
In December 2004, Spencer Reinhardt, Warren Lipka, Eric Borsuk, and Chaz Allen engaged in a daring plan to steal millions of dollars worth of books from the Transylvania University Library, a crime that sent all four to prison for 7 years. Librarian Betty Gooch told WUKY the robber's attack on her left her shaken.
For many, many months, it destroyed my trust in humanity, you might say.
But now the four men find themselves the subjects of a major motion picture called American Animals. In an interview with Megyn Kelly on the Today Show, Allen had these words for the woman they tied up and threatened during the heist.
I hope that over the years that she's been able to find healing and that she's been able to hopefully find within her heart forgiveness.
Taking a brief look at your weather forecast for the week. Tonight, a 40% chance of evening thunderstorms, possibly some late fog, lows around 68. Thursday, a mix of clouds and sunshine and a 10% chance of rain, highs near 85. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 67. Friday, a 20% chance of rain, mostly sunny with a high near 89. Friday night, a few clouds from time to time with a low around 69. Saturday, mostly sunny and hot with a few clouds and a high near 92. Current temperatures in the listening area are 77 degrees in Flemingsburg, 74 degrees in Lexington, 76 degrees in Ashland, 75 degrees in Winchester, 80 degrees in Inez, 75 degrees in Mount Sterling, and 77 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, summer workouts for the Morehead State volleyball team are about to get started. WMKY's Braxton Howard reports.
The Volleyball Eagles will enter the dog days of summer working hard to improve on last year's 14-15 finish. With the majority of the players from that team returning to school, head coach Jamie Gordon says for him, the season can't get here soon enough.
The team that we have returning, I'm really excited about. We lost two seniors from last year's roster. We're adding four more in that I think are really going to complement what we've got returning. We've got a really strong core from last year's squad, the majority of our offense.
But for now, Gordon says he's keeping himself busy by hitting the recruiting trail hard with the staff.
The recruiting cycle never ends. We spend a lot of time evaluating right now at this time of the year prospective student athletes that are entering into their freshman year of high school. What we want to be able to do is try to identify some talent regionally and nationally and start to evaluate how they continue to grow throughout their high school year so that we're in a good position to, you know, be able to make some movements earlier than other institutions.
However, Gordon admits the way he and his staff approach recruiting is a little different than how most other programs do.
One of the things that we really try and do as a staff is to, you know, outwork our opponents on the recruiting side, but really build strong and meaningful relationships with recruits and their families so that ultimately we can help them find the place that's best for them. And if it happens to be Morehead State, great. If not, then that's okay too. And I think that's one of the reasons that we've had such a low transfer rate is because I think our recruiting process is pretty thorough and really helps identify the right fit for these young women.
MSU recently became the only Division I program in the state of Kentucky to have a beach volleyball team, for which Gordon is also the head coach. While the Eagles have used the same roster for both its indoor and beach teams, Gordon says that will soon change.
We're excited this year. We bring in our first roster of beach-only players. We'll continue to have a large percentage of our indoor players cross over and also play in the spring season for beach, but it's really taking up twice the amount of time and effort. So it is a lot, but at the same time, it's an exciting process, and it's really neat to be able to reach out and find some young women that are excited about building a new program and really establishing some deep roots for beach volleyball here at MSU.
Gordon says the biggest challenge facing the Eagles beach volleyball program is the amount of travel the team must do in order to play matches. But starting next spring, Gordon says some help will be coming on that front as well.
Being the only Division I institution in the states of Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois doesn't give us the flexibility to say, hey, we're going to go up to Cincinnati and play, or go over to Lexington and be able to play UK or Louisville or anything like that. So we do have to travel a little bit more. One component that definitely helps our scheduling is that we will be starting our first year as a member of the Atlantic Sun Conference for beach volleyball. So we will have a conference schedule that will then just be able to complement with out-of-conference opponents as well.
The season gets going for the MSU volleyball team on August the 24th when they welcome in St. Francis of Brooklyn as part of the Eagle Challenge. For WMKY Sports, I'm Braxton Howard.
It's 4:48 and 77 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Cody Robinson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this soggy Wednesday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Morehead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
The Reds win again. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds wrapped up their three-game series with the Braves in Atlanta earlier today with a 6-5 win. The Reds got a big home run from Jose Peraza, but it was Adam Duvall's seventh-inning single that scored both Eugenio Suarez and Scooter Gennett that gave the Reds the lead for good. A highlight of last night's 5-3 win by the Reds was the second straight strong performance by starting pitcher Matt Harvey. Harvey improved his record to 3-5 by giving up just one run over six innings, despite not feeling all that great.
Obviously, recently, the struggles kind of not feeling good, not being totally healthy, kind of showed in the numbers, but I think the health coming back is definitely a good sign, and being able to, like I said, not feel great and still get to seven innings is a good sign that things are going in the right direction.
The Reds return home tomorrow to begin a series with NL Central Division leading Milwaukee, having won 9 of their last 10 games. Some other afternoon scores from around baseball today. Kansas City currently leads Milwaukee 5-1 in the 9th inning, and Toronto is up on Houston 6-4 in the 8th. One other crazy story in baseball, a dead body was found inside of a beer cooler at SunTrust Park last night before the Reds-Braves game. The man found was a third-party contract worker for the stadium. An investigation is underway. Morehead State's basketball players will all be returning to campus this weekend. Coach Preston Spradlin says he and his assistants will be working to get them in shape and begin teaching them the program's fundamentals. They'll also be trying to build important roster chemistry.
This year, the NCAA has increased the amount of time that we're allowed to have basketball instruction on the floor. That's gone from 2 hours a week to 4. And so we're excited about that. Now it's going to open up an opportunity for us to have a few more team workouts and do them a little earlier into our off season than we've been able to in the past. And I think those things are really going to carry over to that chemistry.
The MSU basketball team will begin its official preseason conditioning drills after school starts in mid-August. Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari is not the only one feeling good about his team's prospects next season. WMKY's Chuck Mirage reports on that.
In John Clay's column today in the Lexington Herald Leader, Clay noted that the sportsbook Bovada has installed the Wildcats as the 6-1 favorites at this early juncture to win the 2019 national championship. Buoyed by the recent additions of several high-profile high school recruits and former Stanford forward Reed Travis, Coach John Calipari has said the Big Blues roster is chock full of speed, athleticism, length, and shooters. Behind UK on Bovada's list are Duke at 13-2 odds, Kansas at 8-1, Villanova at 17-2, Gonzaga at 19-2, with Nevada next at 10-1 odds. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Chuck Mraz.
One of the class of 2019's top shooting guards has a strong interest in playing his college basketball at Kentucky. 6'5", 170-pound Brian Antoine of New Jersey has narrowed his list of possible schools down to Duke, Florida, Kansas, Villanova, and UK. Antoine says he really likes the Cats program.
Just, you know, the coaching staff and how, like, the coaches let their players play. And also, I was down there for an unofficial visit. I think it was my sophomore year. You know, the campus was amazing. I know a couple players at Kentucky. You know, they tell me everything about Kentucky. Just, you know, past players that have gone to Kentucky, you know, they've, you know, pretty much stormed the league. So just trying to follow in the footsteps.
Antoine is ranked by many as the top shooting guard in the class of 2019 and the nation's 7th best overall prospect. Some notes from the NBA. With LeBron James expected to opt out of his contract and become a free agent on Friday, ESPN is reporting that pressure is building on the Lakers to trade for Spurs forward Kawhi Leonard to make LA a more attractive destination for James. But Lakers president of basketball operations Magic Johnson disagrees with that.
Because if we're banking on one summer for the Lakers, we're in trouble, right? We're in trouble because you have to give us time. This class, like I told you before I took the job and when I took the job, it's going to be a two-summer thing for the Lakers. This summer and next summer. And that's it. And then if I can't deliver, I'm going to step down myself, you know, because then I can't do this job.
Elsewhere, the Clippers traded guard and son of head coach Doc Rivers, Austin Rivers, to the Wizards for big man Marcin Gortat. And the Portland Trail Blazers have sent center Jusuf Nurkić his qualifying offer, making him a restricted free agent starting on July the 1st. Finally in sports, Cincinnati Bengals offensive coordinator Bill Lazor has high hopes for Joe Mixon. Lazor says he's been working with a second-year running back out of Oklahoma in an effort to make him more of a complete player.
And I think he has the talent to do that. He has the smarts to do it. He wants to do it. So that's his challenge. And that's always fun when you're a coach and you lay it out up front for him that, hey, we're going to help you do the things that you don't do well. And you just keep challenging them and challenging them. And when a guy takes to that, it's really a lot of fun to watch him develop.
While rushing for over 600 yards as a rookie, the Bengals want Mixon to improve his receiving and blocking skills this year. That's a look at sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Women's basketball will host an elite camp from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. on Saturday, August 11th at MSU's Recreation and Wellness Center. The camp is open to girls in grades 9 through 12. More information by calling the Women's Basketball Office at 783-5137 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks closed lower, erasing sharp gains as positive news on the trade front was not enough to fend off declines in tech and financial shares. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 165.52 at 24,117.59. The S&P 500 was down 23.43 at 2699.63. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 116.54 at 7445.08. NASDAQ weakness today can certainly be traced to big tech stocks as Amazon, Alphabet, Facebook, and Netflix all dropped about 1.5% or greater. Financials gave back earlier gains, notching a record 13th straight day of losses. The Financial Select Sector Spider Fund, XLF, closed 1.3% lower as Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, Morgan Stanley, and Citigroup all fell at least 1%. The Dow rose as much as 285.91 points earlier in the session as a crackdown on Chinese tech investments by the Trump administration was less restrictive than expected. Energy stocks rose 1.3% as oil prices added to their strong gains. Crude rose 3.2% to $72.76 a barrel a day after the State Department ordered companies who import Iranian oil to reduce those imports to zero by November. GE shares gained 1.6% after the stock was upgraded by a major brokerage firm to perform from underperform, and this firm cited their debt reduction plans that just recently were put in place. In the commodities markets, as mentioned, oil was strong today, finishing up over 2.5%. Gold was down 0.4% at $1,254.30 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were actually strong, with the Stock 600 index up 0.7%. In Asia, stocks were weak, with the Nikkei down 0.3% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 1.8%. Among Dow industrials, the best performers were Chevron and ExxonMobil, and the worst performers were McDonald's and Intel. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Concho Resources and Freeport-McMoRan, and the worst performers were ConAgra and Nektar Therapeutics. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 93 cents at 77.04, CSX down 40 cents at 63.78, Marathon Petroleum down $1.33 at 69.21, AEP up 54 cents at 69.84, AK Steel down 14 cents at 4.34, and Anthem was down 71 cents to finish at 240.56. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Fiscal Court, reminding citizens, civic groups, churches, and businesses to properly retire old, faded, or damaged American flags. In partnership with Advanced Disposal, Rowan County Fiscal Court has placed a collection bin inside the Rowan County Courthouse. Flags may be dropped off Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. through September 11th. More information by calling 784-6345.
Taking a look at some events that are coming up in your region, a blood drive will be held at St. Clair Medical Center in Moorhead from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Tuesday, July 10th. Donors must be able to provide a photo ID, be at least 17 years of age or 16 with parental consent, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in general good health. Every donor will receive a free T-shirt.
The Moorhead Theater Guild will present Arthur Miller's The Crucible at Rowan County Arts Center. The play will be staged the weekends of July 6th through the 8th and July 13th through the 15th, 7:30 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays, and 2 p.m. on Sundays. Tickets are now on sale at the Rowan County Arts Center, $10 for adults and $5 for children.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Chaz Jenkins, Kyle Blinkenbuehler, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Braxton Howard. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH and Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cody Robinson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.